Good evening. Good evening, everyone. I'm Andres Lepik. I'm curator in the Department of Architecture and Design and have recently organized the exhibition Small Scale, Big Change, New Architectures of Social Engagement, along with Margot Weller, curatorial assistant in the department. This exhibition will be on view until January 3rd in 2011 and includes 11 projects from 5 continents, which you see here in this first slide. Almost all of these are either completed or currently under construction. Each of these projects tells a different story about the ways in which contemporary architecture can contribute to and improve life in underserved communities. The selected examples extend from developing countries such as Burkina Faso and Bangladesh to developed countries as France or the United States. Each of these projects reacts to local conditions, is based on diligent research by the architects, and demonstrates a strong and long-term commitment by the architect. MoMA's presentation of these projects is based in a variety of media, such as models, photos, drawings, sketchbooks, audio, video materials. However, the defining element in each of these projects, in most cases, the key to their success as built environments, cannot properly be demonstrated in our galleries and our gallery walls. It is the participation of the users in the context of the community for which it was designed or built. In terms of the moment of the architect's initial research, which began in many cases with interviewing the users or community members, through to the construction process, we are only able to represent a snapshot of the complex processes, which is often involved in the community's members themselves through a few short films and a limited number of photos. Harun Farocki is one of Germany's most respected filmmakers, artists, and writers. His film, In Comparison, which documents the process of brickmaking in a number of different countries, includes the construction of a school project in Gando by the architect Francis Quéré. Francis's school had already been selected for the exhibition, and it seemed to me a great opportunity to represent these processes involving the local community with an excerpt of the film. Although I know that using only 5 minutes of the superb 45-minute film as an illustration for an architecture exhibition, for which it was not originally intended, does not do the work justice, I'm very happy that Harun generously accepted this arrangement. As you can see at the entrance to the exhibition where the film is projected, the work provides an essential introduction to the basic ideas of the exhibition, ecological and social sustainability combined with good design. This film is so strong that I feel that even this short excerpt fully demonstrates the overall concept of the exhibition. It also makes visitors to this exhibition eager to experience the whole of the film. This decision to pair the film and the architectural documentation of the project itself was also the impetus for bringing both architect artists together here in New York, both architect and the filmmaker. Both practices are based in Berlin, but both worked completely different media. However, it's obvious that they have at least one idea in common: to use their practice in an effort to positively impact society. I hope we will discover more in common between the work of the two artists this evening with the help of our moderator, Toshiko Mori. I will not give full introductions to either of the participants in order to allow more time for their presentations and for the discussion to follow, but I would direct you all to the impressive CVs of Toshiko Mori, Harun Farocki, and Francisca Ray in the handouts you received entering this room. Thanks to all three participants tonight, to Francis for coming from Berlin, to Harun Farocki to coming from Boston, and also Toshiko for accepting our invitation to moderate this discussion. She had the shortest trip from New York, but she has a trip tomorrow to Senegal, so thank you for coming also here tonight. I also would like to thank the Department of Education's Laura Bayless, Pablo Helguera, and Sheetal Prachapari for organizing this event. Thanks also to the Audiovisual Department for making this presentation possible. This event will be closed captioned, and if there is anybody who is deaf or hard of hearing, we would like to invite them to take the seats in the front, in the first three rows on the front. So please join me in welcoming Francis Carré. Thank you.
It's not working. Wow. It's a high tech here. So, hi. Welcome. I am Francis, and before talking about my work, I will use the opportunity to say this to Andres. When somebody asked me 10 years ago or 20, 15 years ago that I will ever be exhibited in a museum in Europe or America, I would have said it a joke. But it is true. Today, I am in MoMA. And thanks to you, because you got the courage to showcase, to bring in light what I'm doing and what other people also are doing. And this doesn't be really considered as architect still now. And to bring it in the museum like MoMA is a great honor for us, both architects, but for the user, for the client, for the people who are really in need. Because our job responds to the real need. Thank you very much for this great exhibition. And thank you to the museum. I know I have 20 minutes, that was a little complicated because I will talk about the process. But who I am? I was born in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is a country in which more than 80% of the population, 80%, are neither able to read nor write. And because we talk about architecture in this part of the world, most of the people never heard the term of architecture or architect. But believe me, things are being built. But people don't have money to afford to have an architect or a planner or an engineer. That's why they build a house by themselves. And as a model, they just copy the latest house in their neighborhood. In this part of the world, people are really happy when you happen to build them a wall which is straight and able to stand a rainy season. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the world where I'm coming from. So I hope I don't need to explain to you how great a privilege it is for me to be here today from Gando, my home village in Burkina Faso, to Berlin to become an architect and to be exhibited in MoMA is a big, big step. So let me try to talk about how we make it instead of talking how I'm designing. So please don't expect from me a lecture about modern architecture in general, or in particular, as looking for solution for the world of today, tomorrow. I will show you how, together with my people, we just try to build houses which respond to the need, and at least can stand many, many, many rainy seasons. This is Burkina Faso. The capital city of Ouagadougou, of Burkina Faso, is Ouagadougou. And to give you a view how the city, the country and the cities are made by, this is a settlement, they call it informal, and right, they call it formal. Ouagadougou suffer from the fact that a lot of people are coming to the capital city looking for jobs and better life. They just come there and build their houses. Look like this. this is a different structure to New York, but this is our reality. But people dreaming is this. We dream to have nice building, like your buildings here in New York. The problem is we need this to make the house comfortable, to stay inside. And I hope you will agree with me that even it is looking good, it is not a good solution for the country where the people are poor, where there is lack of energy and money. This is not the real solution. This is the reality home. To have water, you have to have this home to keep your water, because less than 5% of the population are connected to water supply system. And this is the rural zone. There, people live together, generation and generation. They're living in compound like this. So, and they're living from agriculture. And the architecture itself looks like this. They're compounds. And they're made by the people. They don't make complicated plans, but they happen to do building like this. And they deal with nature to protect the house again, rain. They use different colors because the nature is not a factory. You cannot get one color for too many buildings. So you have to deal with the nature. That's how people build in my home country. But what happened when the rainy season came? The house looked like this after the rainy season. Let me go back. So one rainy season, the color disappears, but at the same time, the compounds grows. Compounds are made to grow and shrink when there is a necessity. And people, we have some difficulties building traditional way. Water is destroying the houses made by clay, and the roof are made by straw. And fire is destroying these roofs. That's why people are looking for other solutions. This is a typical school building in Burkina Faso. Still today, they build like this. And this is a very good example, because myself, I sat in a class like this with, imagine, more than 150 other children when I was a child. And it is this, what you can see on top. You can touch it like this. It is made by iron, corrugated iron. It is hot inside, very hot. It is not a place to teach a child. It's more the place to bake, to make bread, I could say. And there is a need to change things. There is a need to build, to make it better, because I'm an architect. I talk about that. But some solutions are not good at all. Their intention of helping. For example, this is an old mosque, and this is a new one. There was a sponsor who wanted to give a new mosque to the people. It could be a church. I just take this as an example. But they give him concrete mosque, and it is good. It's a good idea. But what I'm criticizing is this. The intention can turn badly, because they give a concrete mosque to the people, but that doesn't teach them how to use it or the knowledge how to build it. And this gift turned bad because it's killing traditional knowledge. This, you know what for is this? This is made to come on top of the mosque, of the building, to make the every year the repair you need to do. Therefore, it is there. But giving the people a mosque made by concrete, so and not teaching them to, and not taking account this, is what I'm criticizing. You understand me? So I had an idea, because I was very lucky to be able to attend primary education, to come to Germany, and then to use my skill to do something with my people. What you do when you have a big heart and you are a second year architecture student and you want to build a school for your community, you need money. I didn't have it. You need a strong association to give you the money or foundation. I didn't have it neither. But I had my people and I still had my strong heart. And so I decided to use what we have the most. It is clay, stones, and other local materials, but the power of the people also. So there was the idea to use these to build a school. And believe me, it was not easy when I came home and said to the people, we're going to build a school. When I said, oh, let's go, we build schools, everybody was screaming, wonderful, Francis is back, we're going to have a school. And some days later, I told them, we're going to use clay. Using clay, Francis has forgotten our reality. A clay building is not able to stand a rainy season. And you're going to build a school, something who is coming from France, with clay. This is not possible. But it was hard. You have to discuss, to explain. And at the end, we succeed. We build a school like this. You can see on top in this museum. And it was made by clay. These are clay bricks. These rebars. Rebars, you can't find it everywhere in development countries. Why? Because they're building, and it is cheaper. And in Gando, it has another function. Termite cannot destroy it. So I use it with my people to have this building. But as I told you, I would like to talk about the process and not the result. So what we have are stone. You have it. This is the building site, the school site. And we have a small hill with stones. And we use it like this. The women, mothers, young girls, all people, men, I would like to say, we bring it together to do the basement. It helps save money. And the children, also the children are part of this working process because it's their school, it is their community. They do it. They're simply happy to be part of the process. It is an event, a social event, and everybody wants to attend it. And the buildings grows, like you can see, by the power of the people. And this is the school which is exhibited on top here. It's 10 years old, and it's still the same. No maintenance, but believe me, still today, people care for this school like their own eye, because it's their job. We fight it night and day. We bring the stone and everything there. And so they care for it. And that is it. And our problem was, we finished building, and 2 years ago, 2 years later, there was a need for more. We built for 120, and then there was a need for more than 300 children. One again, I have to start to think how to find the money to build the extension. But believe me, we succeed. And this is still the first school. Inside, when you remember, it was corrugated iron. Now we have a wonderful ceiling, which is breathing. Time is short to explain it, but I hope you will join us one day in Gando or later ask questions, okay? It is the school, and the school alone is not enough in an area like my home country. That way we have a vegetable garden. We teach the children with the school system how to grow vegetables. This is part of architecture. You will wonder, in this part of the world, you have to add this together. But the challenge, ladies and gentlemen, is always how to explain drawings to people who are neither able to read nor write. This is always our problem. And I happen to try to make very, very simple, clear design. When you make it a little complicated, You have to be always there to expand it. And there is no use. You will throw the plants away when you're not there. But the most thing what we do is making models, one by one, most of the time, because there is no building regulation in this area, in this part of the world. But what you need people to trust in what you do. And we make model and we test it, and everybody is there looking to it. So when there is no break, they know that it is a good, this is good technology. And what you cannot see in this picture, you can see somebody here. What you cannot see, really, is the audience. In this side, the entire village is sitting and looking to what happened. And when there is break, not good technology. No break, very good technology. So you can work. That's what you need. And that's how we work. And this become a ceremonial. So after building a building, this is these are the teacher housing, which we built 3 years after the first school. People come on top just to check it, if it works. And you know that engineering has limitation. And always I have to fight to bring them down without saying, go down. When we say that, oh, there is a risk, it can break. So it's always like dancing in fire and so. But it happened. No accident happened still today. And these are the teacher housing. Outside, little complicated, but inside, very simple. Very simple. And one again, without education, I will never be able to do that. And that, what you have, is your advantage to my people. But don't worry. We're coming. We're coming. We're coming to learn from you, and we go back and do that. And for me as an architect, you have to have an idea of ventilation. And you started thinking how to make it. Look at how we use primitive tools to build a vault. So he's using the machete. I don't know if it is. El machete. My friend Luis will say that. And he's using the water level. And they just build it. We build structure with primitive tools by the power of the people using local materials. That's what they do. And the extension is finished. And the children can come, the user, and take it. And they use every corner of the building, everywhere, sitting, playing, working, just lying down, hanging on, you know. This is what I'm doing, and this is how my people use it, take it, and they're proud of it. The parents are really, really proud of that because it's the future of their children, and it has been made by themselves. And this is great. To know that you own skills, you can use it for other people. And this is what I'm doing. And I feel privileged to be able to do that. And of course, I needed to attend education to learn how to make drawings, but to go back to try to transform, to translate this knowledge, to bring it down to the need of the people. What can I do with it? What I'm learning in Berlin or in Harvard somewhere, how can I use it for the people? That's what I'm doing. Not more, not less. And it works. Look at how I happen to put traditional knowledge, because I'm talking about knowledge transfer, how I happen to use clay to build a floor, because it's our tradition. Why it is bad? Why don't you use it inside a building, a school building? It is good because it's people used to use it, and it helps you save money when you put it inside. And you rise the proud. You make people proud because what I own can be used in a modern building. That's what I'm doing. Look at how we make it. Normally the young guys come, like you can see, they stand like this, and they beat it. And then Maraks come and start to beat it too. And my job is, so let me say you, is like a director of an orchestra. Full talented, you have full talented player, and you have to direct them. And that's what I'm doing. And they beat it, like you can see. In this position, giving water, the specialists in this, making these are the women. And you can see it in the film. But they make it, and they beat it by music, and not because we love music, but music help, in this case, to keep the beat, you know? You're differently, you're beating differently, but the music help you to keep the floor flat. That's what I do, what I've learned from my people. And the polisher came, like you can see, polishing it. Hours and hours. Really. And it became like this. And it is good. It is adapted and it is shaped. And is made by the people. Like you can see, is the result. Yeah, that was Gando. I had a big hat. I wanted to help my people, to give them a school. I wanted them to stay home and to be educated. And we start building a school. And now you will be surprised. This is the first contract I get as an architect. And why I'm talking about it? People know about our work and start to ask us to build, to do their project. In this project, I was able to give a job to close to 50 young people, 1 year long. They built it with me, and I was able to earn money and stay home. And this project is in Dano. Dano is something like 500 kilometers from my home village. Is okay? You understand me? Huh? Okay. So, and this is my staff. So, for example, this is Kabila, this is Baba, this is Amede. Amede is a talented guy. He's able to do everything. And Baba is the best mason, for example. And this is Benjamin. Benjamin is the best of the best worker you ever met in your life. He's still working in Ghana with me. And this is Kuyombo. Kuyombo is the best of the best of the best. Because Kuyombo is the musician. Before starting, because he's hardworking, Kuyombo came and beat, making music, calling the people. And Kuyombo is the one who worked the most, who worked longer. And when it happened that somebody came to visit us, Kuyombo take his clothes away and show the muscle, taking heavy things. So that way he is the best of the best. And after work, Kuyombo is the one who went again, is playing night for the entire community. We don't have light in Gando. We have nothing. There is no electricity. So there is no radio, and Kuyombo is making this for everybody. And in this kind of working in a community, is somebody like him very important. And abroad, when they're abroad, night, they do their music. And that's why he's the best of the best. Yeah, and this is my staff. Now I am able to give them a job 500 kilometers from Gando away. That's why my project is important. And look at Danu, we don't have clay. They use clay, but in this case, we use laterite. We can talk later about it. But look at how we cut it from the button. We wanted to take from this to have a wall like this. So, like in Gando, we bring it with primitive transportation system in comparison to your life here. And we bring it, we cut it, like you can see. And we'll make layers to do the walls. We make layers to do the floor. No clay floor, but laterite floor, different to Gando. We cut it, So I have to move, I have to go lecturing to visit New York to be exhibited in MoMA. So what to do when I'm traveling? I have to make models. Everything we do is models. So, and they make a lot of models that can add them to have the complete building. That's what I'm doing at the moment. And you can see it is under a big, big mango tree, not in a big factory. No, it is not necessary. It is not necessary. It is not, there is no need for that to be able to do what I'm doing. And look at, they make it. And they make it together. And later they fix it on top of the building, like you can see. And Amede is making the final cuts. All complicated roofs I'm building are being made by him, myself, of course, but by the other two. And the building is finished. And people can take it, can use it. That's what we do. Inside, ventilation system is what I'm doing in the buildings. So energy is too expensive in this part of the world. And as you've read about it, it is a poor country. So what you do to have comfort in a classroom, you have to create a natural ventilation system. So maybe we can talk later about it. It is simple to make openings on the top of the buildings, and you have outside a roof which protects the building against rain and overheating. But at the same time, you create a natural ventilation by using two double system, one heavy hanging roof and then the light roof outside. When somebody asks later, maybe I could explain it better. I am in mind that I have 20 minutes. Yeah. Okay, and the building is in use, like you can see. People can be educated. And one again, ventilation system. The air is coming, cross air is coming through the windows, as you can see. From the top, you have openings. You have your roof, and the air can circulate between both, the light roof and then the massive one. And it works, openings. Through openings, air is circulating and light is coming in. Another project. This was Dano. This is in Bamako, Mali, another country. Yeah, it was a competition, which I could win. But I couldn't bring people from Gando there. But what happened is, we win the competition, and I went there and said to the people, let us take the stone and cut it and make the building. And they were saying, what a dreamer is this guy. So I didn't say nothing. I just started explaining. And what the result is what you can see. It is a huge park with a sports center, a restaurant. This is the restaurant audit. It is, as you can see, built of rocks. And you have a lake and all of that. And we make it. We finished the detailed design in November last year. This building has been inaugurated just in September. And this is the sports center of it. From the idea is to save everything you can find in the park. But you see a tree like this, you have to do everything to save it. Because what we don't have in this part of the world are trees. And we don't own technology to make them grow very quick. This is important when you do things like that. I am okay, it's fast. I don't have a feeling. You okay? You understand me? Yeah? Okay. So this is support center just to show you how it's look like. But one again, the process, how to make things. This is important in the US. You can make drawings, you give it to somebody else, they will make it. In Germany, you can do it, they will make it. But in the part of my world, you have to find other ways to do it. You have to work with the people. They're full of talent, but you have to explain what you need, and they will help you to do what you really need, want. and look at. What is important is I happen to bring the client to help to cut stone, and women, you know, women made all facet. And this in a country called a Muslim country. Can you imagine that? They are there, they build it. That's what I happen to do. And you can see, making it very fine, very easily. And before we finished building it, the client was very surprised because I came and they was looking to me like an exot. Not the foundation. The foundation know about my work. But the people in Mali, the government, they were surprised that I wanted to have a lot of people and untrained people to work there. But we start working. The buildings grows. People start to talk about it. People start to say, hey, I'm working in the park. I have a job there. People start to be proud about it and talk about an architect who is coming like a worker and then do things with them. And they're proud about it. And the foundation, the client was the Aga Khan Foundation. They heard about it. They saw that the idea was very good. While we was fighting to finish the building, they called me in May this year. Francis, what about building a little museum, clay museum, in Mopti? This is Mopti, the mosque of Mopti, very known. And I said, yeah, good. But when we finished building the park, they said, no, you have to start making drawings. And we're gonna inaugurate it in September. From May, I have to start making design, drawing, and we're going to make it in September. So I just let them, and I go. And then there was one boss, and then one boss higher called me. So Francis, you know, you have to try. Just make first drawing. So first steps, you don't need to do more. We will manage. I said, okay. I started, and then they said, okay, you have to bring labor. I said, what? So you have to bring your people from Gando. They will make the roof. They will make the bricks and the walls. I said, oh, really? Good. I goes, 2 weeks, no communication. So, and the boss, a bigger, one boss, big, higher. Yes, you know, Francis, we understand your problem and what you need. I said, I am not a supermarket. No, but please, try. And what happened? You will be surprised. We make it. This is clay from Mopti. This is clay from Mopti. The complete city is made by clay. But there are different clays. Red clay is also available. And we use it, creating a contrast. And then we start fighting. So I made the design. They start saying, be careful, you will disturb the view, the access to the mosque. I say, okay, then make it yourself. No, we doesn't say like this. You know, it's always the fight. And then, by the end, we make it. And they call it Centre de l'Architecture en Terre. And it has been already inaugurated. And I'm still alive. And I am enjoying it. Because I started as a second year architecture student. And I started to say, I cannot build a high-rise building in Gando or in Ouagadougou. Nobody will hire me to do that. Okay, what I have, we have not. Just take it. And in Germany, at the university, when I started, they were saying, you are a dreamer. They were laughing about me. But believe me, it is not a joke. When you go to this university or around in Germany, you will see that this task, going back to development country, or going back trying to use old techniques to do this kind of work, this become popular, really popular, and this is good. And that's what I'm doing. It is inside, different looks. It's the building are looking, is similar, but they're different, really different. And it's become a museum. There they're showing now old mosque techniques, how to build with clay, And it's the building is made by Francis from Gandu. You know? It's great. So in this kind of working, some project comes to you and you don't know how to handle with them. This is an example of it. I don't want to waste your time because I know it's short. This is an opera building. It was supposed to be an opera building. Unfortunately, a friend of mine who was a German artist who becomes a friend of mine, he died two months ago. But it was a hard work. While building the park in Bamako, while building a museum there, I was traveling with him trying to build an opera in Africa. He came to me with an idea. I want to build the first opera in Africa. And I said, yeah, wonderful, great for you. And there was no discussion, no communication. And 3 months later, somebody called me and said, oh, Francis, you know, he's very sick, and it is his dream. And we think you're going to be his architect. So it started like that. It was traveling with no end and heart because of the one side he was sick. And we had a complicated project to deal with it. We call it Opera Village. Not an opera, but Opera Village with school. So, you know, with things that real people really need. You understand what I mean? Yeah. And we're still working on that. But let me go back quick. I am over the time. Bring you back to Gandu. It's the first school in Gandu, which is exhibited on top. I was forced to build teacher housing, which is a pleasure. I was forced, but now it's a pleasure because we build houses and people are calling them the fridge in Gandu. When you say the house is a fridge here in Europe, you will not understand what it means. Maybe it's not a good idea, but in the country where the average of temperature is higher than 40 degrees, it is a good quality of building. It is an honor. And then the extension camps, and then Danu. And now we're building a library in Gandu, which will complete it in December. I am forced to build a high school in Gandu now because our school is working that. And the quality of teaching is high. And the success of the student is so high. It's the highest in the country. And the government decided to open an high school there. They will send a teacher. But imagine what will happen. Francis has to raise money to build a high school. Who will manage it? We're sure. But it's a cooperation with the government, too, because they like it. And this is good. And the last project we have in Gandu is building a women's center. It has already been exhibited in the Biennale, in the Rwanda Pavilion in Venice. But I don't talk much about all of that because somebody else will say, but he's naive. Why don't he enjoy all of that? Yes, I do. But can you understand me? That is for me important, that all these things help me to do more for my people. Can you understand that? Yeah. That's why when people say, he's in MoMA. Yes, I am here. It's great for me. But it is very important for me to be able to do more for my community. This is what counts. And this is what for I'm fighting. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You got already the impression that Francis has many facets and his work so manifold that also a film could not really deal with it. And in our case, it was different. We wanted to make a film about bricks and not a film about Francis, but we couldn't change it. When I met him in the course of making the film. So The idea was some 6 years back to make a film about an object which is old and which is produced in many totally different functioning, differently functioning societies where the state of production is, the means of production are totally different. And we came to the brick because the brick is something miraculous. It's older than written languages and scripts. It is, as the Bible tells us, humans were made out of clay, and here the humans take a piece of clay and make buildings and later cities out of them. This aspect of making something which is public is very essential to it. So we were looking for locations, and in this case we learned about the work Francis was doing in Gando in Africa, and we had the opportunity to meet him, and he introduced us to his the village where he came from, and we filmed parts of this film with the title In Comparison, from which I will now show a first clip. Mr. Bronstein, could you show, please, the first clip? I hope he hears me. Mr. Bronstein, please give me a sign. Okay, so thank you. You have seen that was this clinic they were working on in this 1 week which we spent in Gando. And I must say, in my experience as a filmmaker, and many of the of my small team shares this opinion, we have never been in a place so far from the culture we are usually navigating in as in this case, and through this wonderful privilege that we had this guide, Francis Quiré, who was familiar with the people and introduced us, we could observe things we would have never a chance to do if classical ethnographers would need 6 months or so to come in such a position to observe these things. And I hope that some of these things are visible to you, little details that although you have communal works, you see that there are social distinctions and that there's still a different behavior on the male side than on the female side, and that when a man who has nothing to do sees a woman carrying water, he at least wants to show which way she should go, which she would probably not know at all where to go if he would not be present. So he wants to, they are also aware of the camera and so on. So you see a different rhythm than you see in industrial work. On the other hand, you see, and also in the next clip it will be available, that a kind of workflow is organized, that patterns emerge when one does work together. Many years back in Vienna, I saw an exhibition by the famous architect and theoretician Rudolfsky with his wonderful title, Architecture Without Architects, and something which should be, one should get back to him, I would say. Nowadays, I think, after I've seen the wonderful exhibition here, I think that that is strongly also inspired by his point of view to look at the material culture in general and not at brand names and architect names. It's a bit funny to say that in MoMA, where the idea of the brand name and the brand name for architect was invented by a man who has a strange building around the corner here with the name of Philip Johnson. And so I think I will just show you another clip where they are working on the school. As I said, it was had not been my intention to deal with this particular work, all these social aspects, let's say this rarely seen and rarely filmed communal work, something we only in the West know when a catastrophe happens. People are working, doing communal work, meaning they are not paid for it, they're doing it in their own interest and they are doing it collectively. in the writings of Rosa Luxemburg about imperialism, she explains that colonialists often didn't understand the idea of communal work and therefore thought this land would belong to nobody if it belonged not to a single person. They only understood private ownership and not collective ownership. And here we see this very rare kind of collective ownership that it's worth an ethnographical film of its own in this sense. And just to give you a further idea how the school was built, we were only there in one phase, and they just started with the roof and didn't complete it immediately, to our chagrin and also to Francis' chagrin. And I will just show you this clip here. Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Francis and Haroon. It's a wonderful evening. And
did you see Kuyumba with the muscle making the bricks? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we like to listen to you for a long time this evening, and there's no, I think we won't ever leave. And it's a great story. And also the film, which I happen to have a privilege of seeing in entirety, is... And something that really reminds me is the fact that in New York, and I teach at Harvard and practice here in Japan, some developed nations, we forget building is foundation for society. The act of building, it's as fundamental as that we often forget. That when you talk about working for people, and in a way you're building society, and you're building civilization, which is a role of architects. We metaphorically talk about it, but we don't really see that really happening in reality. And I think the work you do is not only building buildings. I think you're building society, civilizations. And it has a lot to do with your film also, because in his film in entirety, he shows the degrees of how brick is used in different communities, from hand-built to machine-cut, machine-built, and then also to extreme of robots building in buildings in brick. But brick is an interesting material because originally it fits the hand. It's a material invented to be powered, and then also uses human labor. And it works in a sequence, as you see in the film today. It uses human body as a scalar elements and sequences nearly beautifully choreographed methods of building. So in a way, the idea of active building, I'd like to ask you a question, because your act of building is building of society, and especially in terms of community, someone like Francis, as an architect, as you said, you're like a conductor of orchestra. If I'm with you, I will do anything for you, of course. But building is a very hard act. It's physical labor. Yeah. And people are in very poor communities. They're very busy with raising children, taking care of farm, washing things, collecting wood. And how do you organize them? It looks like a lot of fun in a film, but in fact, it's not that easy, and it takes a lot of commitment from the community. And because me and my students will be into Senegal, Tambacounda, it can be very hot and dusty. Yeah. And sometimes you might have rain season when you can't work. How do you organize a community? I know you have enthusiasm, energy, and talent, mm-hmm. but how do you transform the community so that they are able to participate in building process?
I think, to be honest, I think this community is organizing me. You know, normally when I'm in Europe nowadays, I am happy that people know about my work, and I am invited. I go to do some presentation. I have my office in Berlin. I'm working very hard, and then you're really tired. And when I fly back home, with my people, you know, it's something you cannot, it's complicated to explain. And I came and everybody's waiting for me to show me what I've done during I was not there. And things start to work.
It's self-organized.
Yeah, and you're there, you came and somebody take you by the hand and come and say to you, you know, when you was not there, I was the one who fight for this color, for this window. And then you see another person saying that. You know, it's an event, you know, it's working. And you just try to conduct it a little bit, but you cannot. What I like to say is it just happened. And because you put a little idea, you said, let's start. You know the measurement. But the rest of the things, it just happened. And I came back to Europe when you allowed me to use this expression. I go back to my community very tired. I come back to Europe after having worked hard with the community, and I feel like, I don't know how it feel like, but when I heard people talk about drug, like they put me in the pot of cocaine and bring me back to Europe. So it gives you such an energy. It's happened that, you know, they kept in you, and because they're happy about it, they're enthusiastic. So, you know, while we was building the teacher housing, there was something happened. Somebody was died, and diet is important in my culture, and that is where we all end. And when it happened, people go there, they really go, they care for. And there is nothing that can stop them going there. And then this person, there was a lady going there, she came to our building site. And she saw how everybody was organized, was fighting for the project. And she saw the first vote. She just lay on and say, "You dead? You died." But something like that, I never see it. Those young people are on the way to change our world. I have to know it. And I will say to you when I die. Do you understand what I mean? Mm, yeah. She said the dead can wait. But this is something different. Something is happening
life.
What's so great. And this gives you power.
It's a very beautiful
story. You understand what I mean?
I mean, I wish New York contractor worked that way, but unfortunately, they don't get it.
Francis, perhaps you should also say that you use the dry season for building.
Yeah.
And when it rains, they have to do the agricultural
work. Of course, you have to make some organization.
I don't want to spoil the argument, but somehow that also feeds to this aspect that there's a lot of unemployment in these kinds of countries. Yeah. You just have to organize it in the right way that the resources can be used. Although they are very busy, there's also unemployment, which means nothing to be done also, and therefore it can be organized in a way or another also.
Yeah. You have to deal with rainy season and dry season. Normally the community works in the dry season. In the rainy season, you have to care for yourself. This is the only time you can grow vegetables and cereals, so to live. So you care for that, and then in the dry season, we do our work then. You have to take care of that. This is the community.
Right, so that's actually division of labor and life cycle works that way. And Harun, because you have observed different civilization from India to Burkina Faso to Germany, Switzerland, do you see the similar joy of people working that Francis describes? So how is the relationship of building process in terms of people's reaction to it?
It's no surprise that this kind of joy can't be experienced when you are in a totally automated factory and just have to watch the process. Perhaps there are interior processes our camera can't see when the people are dreaming or whatever. One should be careful with one's judgment and to avoid to say this is well, what life was once, and that's all spoiled by industrialism, which is not my aim, and because I don't think that we can turn everything back and give up the division of labor again in the world, in our societies at least. Therefore, I'm happy that I also found other aspects like this robot-built building, which also was in on the Biennale in Venice,
yeah.
With students and with teachers, but mainly students from the ETH Zurich have developed, where something new comes out of the computer, not that you use a computer for the traditional building, that you just use it as a tool for design, but where the computer directly can create and translate into a pattern of a wall. And that is something new, and probably that liberates in a different sense at the end of the division of labor.
So you see a plus in
digitized. In this aspect, yes, yeah. That is something, that the use of computer becomes a real quality. It's difficult to talk about something you have not
seen.
Not
that's
seen.
True.
Mm-hmm. But it's a bit difficult. So just generally spoken, I can't compare my work to the work he is doing. Also when it comes to the impact and also to the to the degree of commitment, one can only learn that also documentaries, or that could be one way of making documentaries by making use of the pre-existing and not by inventing something new also. And that is one aim in the documentary work also. And therefore, it was very profitable for us to have this experience.
Right. Now you talk about invention, and I can see you have combined both traditional techniques, and there are inventions which you are bringing in sophistication of design you have acquired abroad. And how do you integrate it, and how do people respond to it? Because some of the welding techniques, yeah. The shapes you make for the roof,
yeah.
Also maybe you can go into techniques of ventilation. Some of them might have been traditional, but I think you brought in something from outside.
Yeah.
And how do people accept it, and yeah. How do you train them?
Hmm. I think in my case, you have to keep the balance between technology, traditional knowledge, and then also the economy. So what can I do with the less money I have? And how far can I go using technology with these traditionally living people? So that's what I always try to do. And passive ventilation is now in old world, in India or in Asia. In my part of the world, we didn't use it extensively. That's why I just try to use it, to introduce it, to develop it, to further develop it, because there is a need. In a country which belongs to the poorest in the world, you have to find other solution. Here it's okay. You can buy energy to cool or high your building. But in my area, you have to do that. And you have to do that with the people. You have to explain. You have to make models. You have to make sure it is going to work without complication, without high tech. I love high tech, but who can deal with high tech? We talked today about internet, computer, and how to use an internet when you don't have energy, when you don't have electricity, how to run a computer. So I think I am responding to the need using low technology
with sophisticated knowledge, which
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Without
education, right. I have to agree, without education, this will not be possible.
Right.
That's why I feel really privileged to be able to do that.
Yeah, I feel like you have leapfrogged from one type of economy into infusing it. I think you just jumped over to another. So I think that's a great invention, because sometimes civilization goes through phases of mistake, and you have jumped from more primitive situation into a highly sustainable green culture in a very short time. I think it's a huge value.
Is this highly sophisticated, what we're doing?
What you're doing, yes.
The way you think, the way you think is highly sophisticated.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think
this leap is sophisticated, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Bye, see you.
Thank you, Louis. I think I like to open the floor for questions. I'm sure you have a lot of questions for Francis and Haron. Any questions from the audience?
No. Come on.
Come on.
Hey. We make it short for you. Normally the lecture is 45 minutes. Hey, come on.
Yes, the one.
I'm just wondering about the funding. There's a
microphone coming in, so if you could, so everybody can hear it.
And please say who you are. We want to know you, so you know us here. Come on now.
My name is Boudewijn. I'm from Holland. My father actually is an anthropologist, worked a long time in Senegal, so that's why I'm interested. a question in me arose, like, how much budget or funding is put into a building? Like,
this is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
Could you say something about
that? Yeah.
Thanks.
The first building in Gando costs less than $50,000. The first building.
The school with three classes.
Yeah. This first building. And Dano was in total cost, including fee for worker for 1 year, €70,000 for 3 years ago. We built it in 2007. Gando was built in 2001. So things could change, but I think with €80,000, I can build you the same building. So what you have to take into account, you cannot pay me. But I'm doing for my community. So it's, you know, the factor you have to count it. But I'm doing it is no, I'm not pay. But I think with 80,000, you can't do the same building today.
But is this sponsored by companies? I was wondering where this money is collected or comes from, or who's the donors for this.
So when I started, I had a lot of tip giver. So people giving you idea. Go and contact this organization. Go and contact this. Go and do this. Oh, they have money. They will give you money. And Francis was running. Boom, 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 there. Yeah. So no money. We are a convention. So go to them. But I know somebody. You have to go there. And Francis, boom, 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 there. No, we don't have money. So go to this. Why are you going to build a school and not the government? And you're still young. So that's what I've heard. And at a certain point, I said, okay, they want me to get very old, to be wise, to be able to build it. I said, okay, you don't understand my need. I created an association called Schulbausteine für Gando e.V., which is really German, and in Germany. And with this association, I was able to raise money, not a lot, and you will wonder. I started by my colleague, the other student. I bring them to drink less coffee and put the money in the box I made, was a model of the school. And really, it happened that I built a school like this. Yeah. And my association is still existing. So maybe when you have an aunt or uncle who can sponsor me with my women's center, I just need €100,000. And it is a building for 5,000 women.
Incredible.
Okay?
Thanks very much.
You in the back, right back, I think. Yes.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I was actually going to ask you if you could tell us a little bit more about this women's center and, like, sort of what its mission is.
What is this women's center for? Who is it for? What is the function?
For the women. You saw how the women build the school. And, you know, this will be the most important building in the village. I have to agree that in this part of the world, those who are suffering the most are the women.
Yeah.
Really.
And this is Muslim country.
We are mixed.
Mixed.
We are mixed. We are from the religion, we are from the traditional religion. We believe in trees and all of that. And then we change a little bit. I am a Christian. I became a Christian because I was in a school which was directed, has been directed by French religious, and I became Christian, you will be surprised. The first in my family, and then sometime later my mother. So we are mixed tradition. So we have Muslim, Christian, and animism in my village. And there will be this center. We will try to make life easier for the women. I'm talking about giving them an independent business. So when you cannot say, okay, you have to be free, you have to work less, you have to give them a perspective. And we try to teach things how to make a business. We will teach how to care for illness because they're taking care for the children. We will try to put low technologies, for example, to show how to use less wood, not to cut all trees. So this is the center for which will enable the women to lead a better life and to have an easier.
That will be an educational center.
Education. Or for adult education and all of that. Maybe
awesome.
you will come and film it. I don't know.
I think in this region, gender imbalance in terms of accessibility of education to women not great. I mean, it's one of our worst.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's
when really I said 80% of the population are neither able to read nor write, you have to know that there, something like 95% of the women are illiterate, suffer from illiteracy.
Another question? Yes, from the front. We take a couple more questions.
Hello? Can you hear me? Well, thank you very much. Your work is very inspiring and beautiful at the same time. You mentioned that you want to expand so that you can...
Where
can you hear me now?
Hello, where are you?
Where are you?
I'm
we
here.
Can't see.
Can you?
Oh.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Your work is very inspiring and also beautiful. And you mentioned you also want to help more and more of your people. And my question relates to the traditional techniques that you use. It seems like you still need an architect present at the site to direct the work. And I'm wondering what recommendations you might have to build at a larger scale, either building it so you don't need an architect or possibly expanding to a bigger type of construction site.
It's a complicated question, right?
Yeah. Can you simplify? Yeah.
What recommendations do you have? It seems like you can build one school at a time. Is there a way to take what you've been doing and build it at a bigger scale?
You mean larger buildings?
No, but that's exactly
either
what
larger buildings
problem.
Or more
can
of them.
Can you build only one project at one time, or can you?
No. When okay, you saw in the film of Harun, you saw that people was making the vault, and the women was making the floor, and the young people was making the bricks. This question is true. Now, when you have one project like this in Burkina Faso, and then one in Dapong, what we have, I couldn't talk about all project. I have a educational center, which they start to build it in Dapong. This is in Togo. In Ouagadougou, we will start to build, the capital of Burkina Faso, a clinic for women. And then, don't forget, I have a little project in Geneva, a museum. It was a competition I won. And by the same time, I have a little project in China, in Shuhan, is the biggest fishery harbor in China. And you have to find people. You have to learn to organize yourself, how to make it. It's not easy, and especially for those projects where there is no money. So we have to say it. So because when you travel through time for the project, which costs 70,000 euro, and you fly three times in, you kill the budget. And that's why I'm trying really to train my people so that I have people, they know what to do. They really know what to do. And it is important to start by the basement. When you have the basement, because you limited the building, they know what to do. So it is not easy, but we can do it. I can now, excuse me, but I think I can build 10 schools at the same time. Yes.
Answer to your question, scalability.
Yeah.
So I think we take one final question. I think maybe he had it. Do you have a...
Sorry.
Can you...
Are you going to join us?
am I going to join you? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Good.
I was just wondering, because at the very beginning you showed the capital of Burkina Faso and then the outskirts, the what looked like slums, but I'm not sure. And then you go on to showing work that's being done in the rural communities.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is, what impact does your work in the rural area have on the development of the informal slum developments in the city?
Yeah.
Are people returning to some of their rural communities because there's better architecture or better infrastructure? Are they still continuing to move to the slums at a faster rate? Are they taking any of the knowledge that they learn in the rural communities through your projects over to the slums?
That is a great question. And I think this could fill a lecture, but let me try to answer like that. In the city, first of the picture, it's difficult to define what I've shown as a slum, because it is different to part of the world like Mumbai. They don't have space, and there are so many there. And we have less water in Burkina Faso. Slum in combination with water is very dangerous. And this is different. I think two-thirds of Ouagadougou is like this, what you see as slum. And they're living there. It is safe, and it is clean. I can't say that. So the right one was the formal city. The difference is only they put roads, but there is no difference at all. Mm-hmm. So, but the impact of my work, if the work building a school lead that people left the Ouagadougou to come back, yes, of course, when they can't find a job, they will come back. But my work is so small, I cannot bring all Ouagadougou back to villages. But when there is an opportunity to give them a job, building a lot of school, because there is a need for one school every week. So we can do it 10 years long. It can be possible that people stop to go to the city. We make it in small scale. The people in Gando stop to go to the Ivory Coast through my work. Normally they go there to work. And you have to know that they go there to marry. They work 10 years to get money and buy a bicycle and come back and be able to marry. It can take them 10 years. And in my example with Dano, they work for 1 year, and half of them get married. That's what I will show you I'm talking to Andres. I will show you these young guys when we're there next time. They buy bicycle, they buy jeans, and they're married. Some brought the women from Dano to Gando, which is proud, you know. So to say to you, some of the problems cities have, we can solve it through project like what I'm doing, but we have to do it intensively, not by one person like I'm doing. It is an example, and I hope that cities or decision maker would discover this and help us. So, of course, we can do that. So I show you this opera. I didn't talk much about it. It was a project where I tried to develop prototypes of building for the poor. That way it became Opera Village. I said, okay, I cannot keep him away from dreaming and building an opera. And we are together. What can I make for my people? What can I make for the people in the city, in the slum area? Because we were supposed to build it there. That way I developed prototype. People can come and see how we build, and they will copy the techniques to make their own house better. That was my intention. This is still in my work. When I began, this idea was there. Be careful. When you ask me to do a building for you, I will look. What can I do that the neighbor would copy some of it?
Well, this, I think, is a great question, which I also say that one of our acute problem in Africa is that 75% population live in rural area, whereas huge rapid urbanization. So he is creating infrastructure which makes rural community completely a viable alternative, which also is a global importance. But thank you so much, Francis, and thank you, Haroon, for a wonderful evening, and thank you for great questions from the audience.
Thank you. Thank you. Super, we machen was. And what we forget to say to you is, in my community, in my place, where I'm coming, people start to copy our way. Not the techniques, they cannot. But the people living in the city are under pressure because of their community saying, look at what this guy is doing from Gandu. You have to build a school for us. You have to build a nursery. And several buildings, several, I think more than 100, not with these techniques, but people start to do something. Because, you know, then, oh, you're working as a Beamter, as a
clerk.
Yeah, for the government. We need you to help us to build a school. And this is happening. I cannot talk about it, but this is something is moving in my place.
It's great, contagious.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you, Toshiko. Thank you, Francis and Haroon, for coming tonight. And I think this was a great moment to get like in one of the 11 projects in this exhibition. And it shows that the work of Francis is like maybe also worth to have more shows and with accompanied hopefully with more films by Haroon. Then maybe he will come back and do more films on this. And I think it's very interesting to see that. Thank you all for coming. And if you haven't seen the show, I really want you to come and see the show in the next days. Thank you. Goodbye.